doing a series on faith. So I'm not going to repeat a whole lot of that, but we are speaking about faith. But I said in intercession this morning, this morning's message feels like walking a tightrope. It's one where, well, luckily I'm not going to walk the tightrope. I believe the Holy Spirit will be doing that. So it's a done deal. But for me, it's just, and you'll see why I'm saying it. There's a couple of hard things that we're gonna touch on, and some beautiful things as well. So please, guys, we're gonna pray now. We're gonna trust the Lord that we take the exact right seeds out of this morning that God wants to give us. We don't serve a God that condemns; He convicts within a moment. He convicts, and we had a beautiful testimony now of conviction. But He does not condemn. That's the way of the enemy. He just jumps on your back. And He just goes at you day in and day out for however long it takes for you to realize the truth. So this morning, we're really going to trust the Lord that we're going to hear the right thing. We're not going to hear even what Retief says. We're going to hear what the Holy Spirit says to each of us individually. And I'm going to pray that. Lord, we thank You that You lay Your words and Your law on our hearts. And I believe this is what You're saying to us at this stage. And I just trust that You'll speak to our hearts. Lord, may we and may our faith be one that is biblical, and may it be based upon Your word and truth. And may we grow in that. May we not speak about faith and share about faith for weeks in and weeks out and not end up being a people of faith. So we just come by faith and say, Lord, come and restore and enlarge and grow our faith as we grow in relationship with You. In Jesus' name. Have Your way this morning. And thank You for Your Spirit and power. Nothing else. Your Spirit and power. Amen. Amen. Guys, it's a season where a couple of people are going through a hard time or a tough patch. And yes, I know it is a bit of a cliche and we have seen it before. But this one is especially so. But we'll get to that point just now and it'll make sense. And all of us go through seasons in life. We're speaking about faith, and there's a couple of things that we just need to remind ourselves, because we need an understanding. We need not only hear a couple of things, but we want the understanding, both knowledge, but knowledge that becomes wisdom. So we start off by saying, Lord, just teach me out of Your word. And then as we get this into our system, it becomes revelation knowledge. It becomes part of who You are. It becomes wisdom in your heart. So we said to each other, you can go to the first slide, thanks. Faith is, and just to remind yourself, and you can even write it down so that you have it, not to impress anybody, but to grow in faith. Faith is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. A reliance, dependence, hope, trust, belief. And our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So we said, why are we doing faith? Because firstly, it's the first step unto salvation. It's kind of important to a Christian. In eternity, it is quite important to start off and kick off the road with the Lord by faith. And that is how we are going to spend eternity with Him, believing in His Son. We want to grow in relationship with God, and we want to please Him, and we do that by faith. We want to be people full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Who wants to be full of faith in the Holy Spirit? Who feels full of faith in the Holy Spirit this morning? Lord, we pray for more. Very simple. We just pray for more. God, we want to be a people full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And then if Jesus walks in the room, He's already here, but if it, hypothetically speaking, literally would walk in the room, will He find faith? If He looks at Petri in the eye and He can do that, will He find faith in this man? And that is my prayer for my brother, and obviously for myself and for all of us. That Christ Himself can walk in the room, as He says in Luke, and that He'll find faith amongst us. Not faith in the stuff of the world, but faith in God, an eternal one that will last us for eternity. We said that there's a lot of help, and we get help from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us by the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. And then we said that for us to walk and grow in faith, we need to grow in relationship. So, no relationship with God, or let me put it this way, no faith or little faith. I'll challenge you and I'll probably say if there's little or no faith, there's probably little or no relationship. But it's important to stop yourself now and again and say, am I seeing myself towards God as a slave or a son? And you need to figure that out, and are we trusting God for that in this season? Communication with Him is important. Then lastly, we ended off, or I ended off the last time I preached on faith, is that, do I see God as a faithful Father? We're going to walk out, we're going to camp around that thing, not His Father heart, but we're going to camp around a certain aspect of God's character this morning, which is very important. Sometimes it might be a bit sensitive as well, but it is important. Is God a Father to you? And if so, is He a good Father? And then obviously, if you need some redemption concerning the way you think about, the way you understand or look at a father, we trust in God, we trust in Christ to come and bring redemption. Because all of us, my father was very strong in some areas, but there was lack in others. Accordingly, unfortunately, that had an effect on my relationship with God the Father. And now I need to say, Lord, yes, there's areas. Communication was great. I really communicated well with my father. He was open. He was a great communicator. But there was areas where, unfortunately, he dropped the ball. And I need to say, Lord, please come and bring redemption in these areas, because I can see lack, because I have no picture of You in this area. Now, these are sensitive things, but it's something that you don't leave behind. Please, guys, we hear of people being 87 or 84 years old, a lady having to receive amazing ministry and counsel deliverance upon a thing that happened when she was 13 years old, or even younger, I think. And in all of those years, she never shared the thing that the enemy used to grab hold of her heart and her life. And unfortunately, with these things, these deep-rooted father wounds, as they sometimes call it, please don't let it go begging for 60 or 70 years. If you can get redemption and healing in this time. So please, talk to the Lord, talk to us. Last time we said, God established identity and calling upon Jesus, said to Him, You are my son in whom I am well pleased. Moments later in the next chapter, Mark 4, the enemy what? Does question Him on exactly that. If You are the Son of God. It's literally not even a page further. It's a couple of words later. So God comes and He says, Hey Pietri, You are my son in whom I am well pleased. Moments later, the enemy comes and he questions that. It'll happen to all of us. Your identity and God's Father heart for you will be questioned. And we need to walk in faith and trust Him. Jesus is the one that will show us the Father. And we ask, Holy Spirit, Jesus, help us. So that we will have a fresh, sound, biblical, spiritual picture of God the Father and our sonship towards Him. I wish I could, but I would have wanted to ask each and every person one by one just to say yes, that you will go after that and seek God in His Word and seek Him to have that sound, solid picture of Him, to have that truth embedded in you, because it's not only about you. You guys have two kids. You have two kids. We have two kids at the moment. Most of you influence a lot of people. You might not even have kids, but you influence other people at the moment. I don't know, is it Petri or Scarpa Superior of you? But you have influence over other people. The way in which Philip sees God as Father, or maybe not see Him as Father, himself a son of God, himself a son and God as his Father, has an influence on all the people around him. It has an influence on his future and his present day. So guys, it's something that I believe is really important, and it's something that we need for our faith. Now the tricky part comes where we just move back and we say, remember context, we're speaking about faith at the moment. But I quickly want to speak about faith in our modern day, being a Christian in this day and age. Who had a breeze of a week? Who had an easy week? Wie het 'n maklike week gehad? Steek julle hande op asseblief. Two people, 3, 4, 5. Awesome. Cool. Who thinks that life is a walk in the park? Who thinks life is easy? Nobody? It's nice. You obviously book a van. Who thinks life is a bit hard? Who thinks life is sometimes unfair? Life is definitely complicated. But I think sometimes as Christians, and I know that our heart is being authentic and being all real. Now, sometimes we need not be too real, always be real in love. But we can't walk in the door and be all, ja broer, ja broer, ja sister, nie goed en jy, geseend is jy, geseend is jy. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, something happened on Friday, and you don't know who to share it with. There's a place in saying, sometimes things really suck. Sometimes we had a rough night. Now, usually on a Saturday, I'd like to prepare for not for the first time, amongst others, prepare on a Saturday, do my final preparations for the next day. In the evening, it needs to be quite a bit of a chill evening, unless somebody has a party. But I usually steer clear of those as well. And then early on a Sunday morning, I'll get up and spend time. I just like the peace and quiet. I just like the discipline of that. And it just works. I don't like it if the kids wake up in the middle of the night twice or three times on a Saturday night. It just screws the program. And so last night it happened. And Edna was awake and everybody was awake. Nobody was sleeping. And it is cold. And I need to be up before five. And it just, my whole plan is just totally wrecked. And likewise, obviously, my attitude towards my family members as well. And things just did not go according to plan. It was oulik en seep glad. I work for the Lord. I get up. I have my coffee. It's warm. I prepare. It's going to be awesome. No. It's just all guns blazing. And it's not what you expect. And I think sometimes life, not sometimes, but most of the times, life throws a couple of curveballs to us. And I love the fact that we don't have to walk in here and say, ja broer, geseend is jy, geseend. You are blessed, by the way. But we can sometimes say, no, life is a bit tough. Who experiences pressure in life? Who's had seasons where there's no pressure whatsoever? How long was that period? 3 days? That was an awesome quiet time. In God's presence for 3 days? That's amazing. What a saint. Anybody else? How long have you had no pressure in this life? You see what I'm... And remember, we're walking a tightrope. We're not going over to any negative side. I'm just saying we're just being honest about life. It's not necessarily a walk in a park. There is some scrapes and bruises and bumps and sometimes a couple of fists and nasty curveballs. But there is pressure. You know what? Is that the world out there would constantly like to just escape pressure. Through finance, through sex, drugs, and rock and roll, through fiction and non-fiction, through control, manipulation, greed. But there's a constant yearning for us as humans, for our flesh especially, for our carnal nature. We want to escape pressure. Guess what? I think we need to embrace pressure. We were so blessed. We went for six, it was our second off weekend for the year. We went away. We packed all the nice stuff that we really like. And our kids. And it was just... And their new Lego. We love our kids. You know that. But we packed everything that a perfect little breakaway holiday would make perfect. Everything. Carnally, fleshly. Everything. We rocked up. We went to Stanford. It was amazing. It's beautiful. The scene is set for perfection. Yet it just dug my heart. It just grabbed me immediately. The battle is still there. If you like Coke floats, and you've got all the ingredients for a Coke float there, guess what? The devil is still on holiday. Moreover, God is not ever sleeping. So the bottom line is that even where things are quite seemingly perfect, and you just want to rest, and you just want to chill out, there's pressure. So luckily, it was the first afternoon of our breakaway holiday. I just realized, Lord, None of the things we brought with, none of the perfection that we see, not a perfect coffee around the corner, not a nice jog in the next to the river, none of those things can bring true contentment to my heart, can bring peace to my heart. None of those things can make me escape the pressures that I actually have in my life. Yet, if I bring all of these things, all of these blessings, which I'm thankful for, and I bring them subject to Christ, the only one that can bring true peace and escape me from the pressure and bring contentment, it's going to be a blessing. So it's just to set the record straight. And after that prayer, things just fell into place much better than it was when we rocked up there. Guys, we face pressure, and luckily, it's not an ungodly thing to say because it's quite biblical. Let's look at Matthew 7:13. Jesus himself at word, and this is for us. This is a word for us. Christians in this modern day, in that olden day, but it is for us in this world. Guess what? This world passes on. We're pilgrims. This is tijdelijk. We're going home one day, and it's going to be bliss. Less pressure. No pressure. Let's just hear what the word says. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Finding Christ, finding the way, finding the truth in life is not the easiest things. It takes a bit of elbow grease. It takes a bit of focus and it takes a lot of grace. Life is not the easiest. Guys, we all have pressure and we will have pressure, but we need to embrace it. We need not escape it. And when we're talking faith, I believe we need to trust God to be a people of overcoming faith. If you tell a person out there, oh, I'm a Christian, I have faith in God, they think it's fluff and bubbles. They think it's appalling. Rather get yourself a joint or a couple of bucks or a nice car or a girl. Bottom line is, they think it's fluff and bubbles. Yet for us, it's life. It's like blood in our veins. It is what keeps us going and what not only keeps us alive, but helps us to overcome. Because we're not called, by the way, just to survive. We're called to live. And we're going to get to that. This is the more difficult part. We're going to get to an easier part now. John 16:33 says the following, talking about pressure. Let's just go to Jesus. Let's just see what Scripture says. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. And behind us so beautifully testified that as he returned into Christ, his peace just totally returned. And this morning he had absolute freedom. In me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Now, who of you believes the words of Jesus in the Bible? In this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Praise God for that last sentence. We're not going to focus too much on that. But we know that I have overcome the world. The one that overcame the world is Jesus Christ. Petri also shared this morning. We have to be found in Christ to overcome. Bottom line is there. In this world, you will have tribulation. Other translation says that you will suffer. Hi guys, welcome to church. But there is unfortunately a bit of suffering in this world. There is a battle. There is tribulation. And sometimes we need to be honest about these things, but there's a lot of hope. Let me just make it bluntly clear. There's a lot of hope. Just quickly, while we're on the subject and before I lose you guys, what is tribulation? We just look at the definition there. The Greek definition also speaks about pressure. So Jesus says you will have pressure. Jesus, I just want to escape. He says, no, you will have pressure, but let me teach you how to overcome life and life in abundance within this pressure. Come, hide in me, and I'll help you face the pressure. I might not take away the pressure, but I will become a life in this pressure. I will be the way, the truth, and the life. I will sustain you. I will be strong within your pressure. So tribulation means pressure, afflicted or affliction, anguish, burdened, persecution, tribulation and trouble. Who knows Psalm 34:19? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. So yes, Jesus said we'll suffer, but take heart, guys. Word also says, yes, many are the afflictions. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be pressure. But God will deliver you from them all. Say, them all. Them all. But you need to stand on that word. If you don't know that, if you don't know that truth, and you don't trust God's character, you don't know His goodness, you might just fall for that affliction and unfortunately get hurt. And sometimes that happens to Christians. But that's why we are teaching on this, and that's why we want to grow in faith. We want an overcoming faith, a real biblical faith, not one that says, hey guys, come follow Jesus, it's a breeze, get yourself a pina colada, we just wait out the time and then we go home. No. He says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Come, be a disciple. Come, lose yourself to find your life. Yeah, praise God. John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to what? Give life and life in abundance. So you've got this divine tension between, yes, there's pressure, yes, there's tribulation, yes, there's trouble, but we're not going to sit down. We're going to say, Christ, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Come in me in you. I want to be an overcomer. I want an overcoming faith. I don't want to escape pressure. I want to know how to handle it. With you. Now, just a quick add-on. Remember, not all pressure is from God. I'm not going to spend too long time on this, but it's very important. This is very important. Not all affliction, not all trouble is from the Lord. We need to be very careful of that. We're going to go into that just now. But discern. Because sometimes we go through a troublesome time because of the spirit of stupidity. Not because it's God's heart. I don't know in your life, but you need to discern and say, Lord, this affliction, this thing, are you letting this happen? Or is it just the devil taking me for a ride? Be that as it may, trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Okay, so life is not always easy. I love God, I love life, and I don't want to go home quite yet. I want to finish what God has sent me to do. I want to enjoy the things and the blessings in my life that God has given me. I think some people, unfortunately, out there is in the place where they probably just don't want to be here any minute longer. I'm grateful to say I love life, but I'm not saying that there's no pressure. Now, out of this place of pressure, walking this tightrope this morning, Ratif, what are you going to say next? I believe when it comes to faith, there's one, and growing in faith, there's one non-negotiable element of God that we need to be very clear of. And if your mind is not made up about it, guys, like with the Father heart thing, you need to make up your mind. You need to decide what you believe. And that element is the goodness of God. Do you believe God is good? It sounds like a bit of a feeble question, but it's not. I believe it's a real cornerstone building block for whatever you're spiritually building, to believe in the character of God, to know that He is good. Not because you got hoenderfleis, not because of your experience or Petri's experience, but because of the things that we're going to quickly share now. Bill Johnson says the following. Our faith only operates where we know He is good. Our faith will many times only grow where we know God is good. We might sometimes say, yes, I believe, and speak something with our mouth, but our heart is far from that. If you really think God is a osirknol, oman, that's just out to get you and shame you, and ankle tap you and make fun of you. You might say a couple of things about Him, but you're not going to see Him as a good Father. And your faith is not going to grow there. For another person, it might be the area of healing. If you don't believe that God is good, your faith in that area might not grow. If you don't believe God is good, you're not going to be sure if He's going to provide. Is He Jehovah Jireh or not? I might say, yes, Jehovah Jireh. I might have a nice bumper sticker, Jehovah Jireh. Lekker. But the bottom line is that if I don't really believe God is good in providing, my faith is not going to grow in that area. Does that make sense, guys? Petri, we can have questions afterwards. Now, speaking about the goodness of God, who's ever been challenged by the goodness of God, if God is good? Great. 50% honest people in the house. Hallelujah! Grappies. Guys, we all get challenged by that. If the devil questioned Jesus about His identity and who God is, and did, as he did with Adam and Eve, did God really say, he'll constantly question this thing. Because so much of what we do and who we follow as Christians are based upon, do we actually believe this God, this unseen God, is good? Now, the first important point that we need to be very clear of when we're speaking about the goodness of God is that all evil is from the devil. Very profound theological statement. Not really. But sometimes we get all murky, we get all demagogue, fuzzy about where does evil come from and what does God do? Is he a bit of a schizophrenic? Stand, maak je ziek, maak je gezond. Maak je ziek, maak je gezond. Nee, that does not make sense. So sometimes we just need to go sit down and go through these basics and just realize that the devil is the one that produces evil in this world. He's the one that kills, steals, and destroys. And yes, the goodness of God comes through whom? Who's the picture of the goodness of God? Jesus. He brings redemption. So the fall is universal. Evil comes upon all men because of whatever Adam and Eve did. But yet the offering of grace is also universal to all. To say we take redemption. And now we're in this battle. Constantly in this battle. Constantly in this battle. The evil in this world does not come from God. Many times when tragedy hits, when something happens, it's just funny how the devil is not mentioned. I don't want us to be very conscious of the devil the whole time. That's not what I'm saying. But it's funny when the papers are flung open, hypothetically speaking, that the enemy is not the one in the stands. It's usually God. Yet Scripture tells us exactly what's going on. So there's an attack upon the goodness of the one that we serve. There's always an attack upon the goodness of who our God is. And we need to make sure that we know He's good. Where does the authority of His goodness come from? Where do we learn that? Experience. Yes. No. What do you think? I believe it should be secondary. I don't want to correct you before the whole church, my love. Grappie, I've got the mic. You can get it after church again. It's great to have an experience of God's goodness. And I believe all Christians should have a fruitful experience of God's goodness. But that cannot be the thing that we base our opinion on, or our knowledge, or our worth on. The Word of God is firstly and foremostly, and I always want to say only, the authority that we can use and apply for God being good. There comes a place where your flesh might be offended, but you need to decide, I believe God is good and only good. He doesn't have this freaking weird perverted side that I don't know that needs to get out of the cupboard type of come out freak one evening type of God. No. You need to decide He is a good God because the Word of God says so. And the irony is, or the beauty of it is that the moment you decide to say yes to that, it becomes an experiential truth to you. But it's not the one in front of the other. It should be word first, and you decide upon, based upon Scripture, that God is good. Because guess what? That truth will be tested the whole time. And unfortunately, things happen in life that seems, or people get hurt. Situations happen that is really evil and atrocious. And then you need to know where you stand. And then you know, need to know who the enemy is and what God's role in this is or not is. Let's quickly look at Scripture just to... And again, it's one of those things. You can hear me saying it. It's one thing just to hear me say, ramble off a couple of Scriptures. It's another thing to get into, dig into, to get into the Scripture and to make it your own. For some people, you might have had an easy ride for a couple of years, so it's easy to believe God is a good God. Some of us might have been whacked hard by life. By whom? By the devil. Some of us might have been robbed of a lot of stuff. But you need to go and dig in and dig deep and get this truth out of the Word of God, that God is a good God. Mark 10:18. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So the authority is in the Word, not mere opinions. And it's definitely not based upon anything but the Word of God. I said to you guys before, we went through a rough patch. And I saw what happened, how the wheels came off in other people's lives. People that seemingly stepped out in faith and followed God on a prophetic word or something. And then the wheels just came off and it just threw me. God just in one morning said to me, "These are your examples. These are the ones that you refer to." Guys, they're written here for a reason. Not only written, it's logos, but it becomes rhema to you as you make it your own. But it's here for a reason. God said, take your eyes off other people. I haven't been in the inner room. I don't know what they've done or not done, where they've been obedient or not been obedient, the people that the devil wanted me to look at. But God said, no, no, no. Look at these testimonies. Learn from them. They're in you for a reason. And so I did. Praise God. So he saved us. Praise God. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is... Say that word. Good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So yes, you go, you take the word, you believe and say, yes, God is good. I don't feel it. You don't have to. Where your faith in your mind goes, your feelings will follow suit. This is a oulike hondjie. Hy luister mooi as jy hom mooi train. But you need to train him. And then the taste comes. I can unequivocally tell you that I know that God is good. And I can tell you all the testimonies. I've tasted it. And it's amazing. But I can't give it to you. It's like manna. It's there for one day. Yes, not a testimony. It's not there for one day. But it's very personal. You go grab it out of the Word. You make it your own. You make it your rock. And now you say, Lord, I won't mind a couple of fruit. I won't mind a couple of testimonies. And then to go share that with other people. I believe that's important as well. Psalm 119:68. You are good. And do good. Teach me your statutes. So see, he makes up his heart. The psalmist makes up his heart and he says, yes, you're good. Now teach me. Chris, will you put it the other way around? If I did not know Chris, I would not so easily eat from him. I mean spiritually. I'm not going to nibble on his arm. Don't worry. Okay, everybody's awake. Stupid joke. But the bottom line is that I know him, I know his heart, I know his fruit, I know his attitude towards God, and especially his attitude towards church community, and I love his heart. So it's easy for me to eat from him. Now he knows a lot more about finances than I do. So anything that he can just give me, I'll probably gobble up as if it's the gospel. But the bottom line is there's relationship, and I know, and I trust him. I know that he's good in that area, or in the areas that I very... well know him, and I want to be taught by him. So same goes with God. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. What is good? Quickly, the definition. You might think, well, I know what good is. But just see how beautiful this is. If we say the goodness of God. Remember, guys, whatever tough things you faced in life, whatever you're facing now, whatever hurt you're carrying at the moment, there's a bit of a tension now between this feelings, these experiences, and the truth of the word. But as you subject them to this truth, they will always become subjected to it. You understand what I'm saying? And it is important to do that. Good man, good woman, good, goods. We go on. Well, beautiful, best, better, bountiful. This is God. We're talking about God. God is good. We're saying the following. Beautiful, best, better, bountiful, cheerful, at ease, fair, fair. Maybe there's somebody that needs to hear that God's goodness is that He is fair. I don't know if there's a lie that God is not a fair God. God is a fair God. Fair, favor, fine, glad, good, graciously, joyful, kindly, kindness, liketh, loving, merry, pleasant, pleaseth, pleasure, precious, prosperity, ready, sweet, wealth, and welfare. God is good. Now there's another thing that Bill Johnson said that just struck me in preparation this week is, God is better than we think. Whatever you're thinking about God at the moment, God is better than you think. So we have to change the way we think. Who of you are not challenged? Or who of you think, and you may really say that you are, you don't think that you need to, you change your mind about how good God is. You have it all figured out. And you're welcome to say that. You came to this revelation that the fullness of God's goodness, I have that all in here. No. Okay, in that case, praise God, we need to renew our minds. What did Petri last week say? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. What does the world say about God? Move him out of our buildings. Move him out of our schools. Move him out of what we think about family and marriage. Move him out of our beds. Move him out of our bank accounts, moving out of our hearts, moving out of our relationship, move Him out. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. If you don't believe God is good, change your mind. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes hurt, lingering for 10 or 20 years, might have brought you to a place where the good God's goodness is questioned in your emotions, in your mind, and you just need to resubmit and say, Lord, let's get into the Word. Let's get in fellowship. Let's get in worship. Let's get with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, come and make this fresh. Me, myself, I'm really trusting. I want a fuller picture of the goodness of God. And I'm trusting Him for that. Who knows that God is sovereign? That means, as the oppergesag, He's the highest authority. God is sovereign. Is God here on earth? And now quickly listen closely. God is sovereign, so He is the highest authority. Is God always in control? On earth? No, He's not. He's not always in control. Guys, we see molestations, we see rape, we see murder, we see atrocious things under the sun. If you can truly tell me God is always in control, we really, it's quite sick. It's not a problem, but it's just a question that we need to think about. God is sovereign, so He has the authority. Does He always take control here on earth? No. He's given authority to us. Because people are, why doesn't God just jump in and do things? Because He's given authority to us. God can be in control of any set of circumstances, any family, any problem, if you give the keys to Him. God might have made the car. He might have put the badge on there. There might even be God on there. He might know how that thing works inside and out, but He's given you the keys. You drive it. Jy stamp om, jy ry mense om, jy gaan mal. En jy sê, God, wat maak jy? Hy sê, ek staan en kyk en ek huil. Dit maak my vrek seer. And then you come to a place where you say, Lord, finish bumping this thing and hurting people with this car, please take over the steering. And then sovereignty and control comes together. The world would love to point fingers at this God. But he gave authority, and we need to choose. Sovereignly he gave authority. Now we need to choose. I know what my life looked like when I was in control. Well, sometimes obviously the carnal flesh comes in and we have problems. But in the bigger scheme of things, I give the steering wheel over and I say, you have control. But guess what? When he takes the steering wheel, God is a loving father, but he's not that big on backseat driving, I think. If you tell him he can drive, by his terms. In love, but it's by his terms. I think that's where we as Western Christians sometimes, yeah, you can have the steering wheel, but just till we get to Bloemfontein, then I'll just pop over. No, he says, no. It's either me or you. So that's a very important question around the goodness of God, to know he is a sovereign God, but he's not always in control. Otherwise it will be a bit skew and perverted, quite frankly. You can give it to him, and you can make him or give control to him in a certain set of circumstances. Fourth thing about the goodness, God's goodness comes forth in Jesus Christ. We said the following, or we already said that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus himself called Satan the ruler of this world. So obviously Satan has some authority in this world. Jesus took that authority away, but now we need to enforce that. We need to enforce that truth constantly. We're not going to go too deep into that, but when we're speaking about the goodness of God, realize that the evil one produces evil. And God is a good God. And don't get the two mixed up, because that's just the devil's plan. He's been doing it for decades and many and many thousands of years. Or just over two. And he's been doing that, and that's exactly what he will be doing in our lives. Once you've made up your mind, remember, we're in life. Life has got pressure. There is tribulation. Let's just deal with it. That's fine. We want to overcoming faith. By God's grace, through Christ, we will have overcoming faith. And as we grow in faith, we need to be very clear about this one fact. And what did we say is that? The goodness of God. Once that's settled in your heart, I believe we're in a good space to grow in faith in all areas. Believe God is good within all aspects of, or spheres of your life. And then comes a place where, and I called it the potter's clay. You can go to the next. This image just keeps on coming into my heart this last couple of months. I was trusting God. God gave me a specific prophetic word in my life. I'm just working it out with the Lord, seeing and trying to understand, figuring out what the plan is, figuring out what the timing is. God, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? And when I recently went on the mission, God said, "He'll just in that time out, he'll speak to me," and I knew he'll just give me clarity. And on my way back on the plane, I said, "Lord, but I'm flying back and I don't necessarily have all the clarity that I can understand, or I don't know the plan, and I don't know what you're saying." And then immediately a vision just dropped in my heart, and I just saw this massive piece of clay, and I knew that's the answer. You might think, what the heck, Retief? God's answer about timing, about what he's doing, about his plan, was just this: I'm clay in his hands. And a resolve came over my soul. A peace came over me, and I knew that's the plan. I don't know the plan. But Edna says hallelujah. Anyway, we just ignore that comment. And I just realized that a part of faith is not knowing the full plan. Yes, God speaks to us. Yes, God speaks prophetically. Yes, he gives us detail. Yes, he's amazing. But there's a place in this pressurized world we live in where we serve a good God, that sometimes a part of our faith and the growing on our faith is this: there's a mystique, there's a mystery about this God of us. There's a part of walking with Him and trusting Him that we need to let go of and know that we're not going to all have it together all the time. We also live in a culture where we want to have everything together. Who of you guys want to have everything together? Have a nice plan, have the budget, have the structures in place. Who likes that? Chris, you can hand my word up, stick a step right. But yes, we like that. We like things to work out as planned. And if it doesn't, we get a bit offended. But God just, He just worked in my heart on this thing. And I believe if we speak about faith for a couple of months or a couple of weeks, we can't skip this part. That our faith is sometimes like clay. And this is why I'm saying faith brings us to a place where, and I just mentioned a couple, faith brings us to a place where we don't have the full memo. We don't have the full plan. We don't have all the answers. We don't know it will end well, according to our own knowledge. We don't know if the water will hold us. We come to a place where sometimes nothing makes sense. There's no full formula. My friend here, Pietri, knows a formula. But there's no full formula. We think in terms of time and space. So when we think faith, the promises of God, the prophetic words of God, the things of God, we tune to think time and space. Yet the one that we believe in is not restricted or subject to time and space. That's a bit of a spanner in the works. Oswald Chambers says the following, and this I love. It's tough for the flesh, but it's truth to the soul. Faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. Yeah. Amen. And His ways are not always, Chris said it to us, not always our ways. His thoughts are not always our thoughts. But how cool is that? Faith is a deliberate confidence in the character of God. So there was this prophetic thing that God has been speaking to me about over a couple of years even. And I'm like, Lord, just, okay, I've been through the mill now, so just give it to me raw. Just give me the memo. Keep my bullet points. I like them. I love vision. Come on. And He says to me, clay. And I didn't say hooray. I was actually in tears, not because of the vision, just in a place of brokenness, just saying, God, I actually don't know. I was in a place of beautiful brokenness. And He says to me, clay. But in that moment, I just knew what He was saying. I just knew my faith is not built in the fact that I know the scriptures that He's given me, the visions and the bullet points and the plans. No, I know who He is. My faith is in His character. My faith is in His goodness. Irrespective of what the world and other people think about what their experiences have told them. I love you, but I don't care about your experience. I care about the truth. Faith is a deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. I'm just going to skip a quick, I'll go back to that just now. Matthew 11:6. I just believe I should share this now, but Matthew 11:6, Jesus says, blessed is he who is not offended by me. Guys, in love, if you truly follow the Lord, you truly follow Him in faith with your whole heart and your whole life, there will come times where you might be offended by the ways of the Lord. Exciting news, eh? Blessed is he who is not offended by me. There is the chance that we might be offended by the ways of God. You love this beautiful church building that we're in. But imagine next week God says, no, move out to a tent. I'll be offended. Sometimes he does things, eh? Exactly. That's just a stupid stupid example, but the thing is, God does things that sometimes offends the flesh. Quickly going back to the clay and the scripture that we're going to take to heart and we're going to take home is the following. And here, if there's a conviction, hallelujah, but there's no condemnation. But sometimes there's a bit of a wake-up call. Just to know, I'm man, you're God. Oh yeah, I'm man, you're God. I'm like grass, you're God. It's good to just remind ourselves of these things. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker and earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? What are you doing? Who likes it when their children gets to them and say, hey, what the hell did you? No, we don't really like that. What are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands. This might sound very, nee broer, nooit gesien nie. But sometimes in our hearts we do that. Our carnal nature has the ability to get that stinking thinking sometimes, to get that attitude. And this is just a time we say, no, God, that's not our heart. That is not what we want to do. The next verse is not on there, but it says, how absurd is the one who says to his father, what are you fathering? Or to his mother, what are you giving birth to? God's ways are not our ways, guys. And we need to put this in our faith equation. We need to put this as part of our faith. There will always be a part where you don't have control most of the time, where things does not make sense to you. But yet when you remind yourself, firstly he's good, but secondly he is God, and where the fear of the God just comes and washes over your emotions and over your soul, you're reminded of this, that we need not be like that. For six things very quickly. The life of faith is one of clay. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because we can't have a haughty sense of entitlement. Guys, as Christians, I don't care who you are. I don't care who I'm not. But you'll only grow as far as you don't fall into that trap. And it's going to be set before you some other time, if not more than not. There can't be an haughty sense of entitlement. It's goed, wat maak jy? Type of thing. Yes, there's a place we ask, Lord, am I in sin? God, is this the devil? But sometimes God lets things happen in our lives. Sometimes he uses things to mold and to make something beautiful. And in that place, where sometimes your flesh, your carnal nature wants to be offended by the ways of God or what God is doing in the church, what God is doing in the body, what he's doing to a neighbor, how he's blessing another or not blessing another, whatever he's doing, there comes a stage, and sometimes I think a couple of times in our lives, where you get tested, and be careful of that sense of entitlement. Narcissism is a thing in our modern day culture where you think too much about yourself. It's an excessive interest in self and own appearance. Self-interest and own appearance. So it's just excessive. It's all about the selfie culture. I like a selfie with the girls, I must confess. But there's a place where everything in your world just evolves around me, myself, and I. And you get so obsessed by self-interest that you lose focus about what's cooking. We need to be careful. Second thing is we need to surrender. A piece of clay just surrenders all. Now remember those hands that are molding and busy making, they're good hands. So it's not a fact of you is oorgelaat aan die wolwe. It's not a fact of being left out in the cold. You surrendered to good hands. Remember being clay is that we see in part. And understanding part, but he sees perfectly. The potter knows. And to have faith, clay, is countercultural. I believe it's really countercultural to walk in faith. We live by faith and not by sight. It's not the way the world likes it. They tell you that you're successful if you're in control. If you can organize, and if you're in control, and if you're safe financially, and you're safe in various areas, then you're in a good space. Yet God calls us out to a place where he says, no, 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 not the system, not yourself. I'm molding. I'm using you, and I'm molding. I'm sculpting. And that's the last two points that I want to make. It's not all about losing out, losing out, losing out. Remember, God is good. These hands are firm. They're amazing. They're loving. But in or through these two hands, profound and immeasurable divine potential can come. Guys, as a blob of clay, I wanted to lay down, but it's probably a bit extreme, and it's cold. Pietri. But as a blob of clay, I'm worth so much more. There's so much more potential in my life. If I come to a place of surrender, knowing that he's good, saying, I am clay, and not questioning him, who's the perfect potter. Who knows what he can do with our lives? Just imagine if all of us, not everybody's here today, it's a bit cold, but imagine just if all of us can truly, truly become clay in his hands. Just imagine the crazy potential of the amazing things that God can do in and through our lives. Whatever he does can only lead to good. If there's a place that the enemy wants to get you to get offended with the Lord, be careful. Faith calls you to a place where you definitely don't have everything figured out. Walking in faith does not mean you have everything figured out, but you have a loving trust in the character of the one who does have all figured out. Who does have your absolute best interest at heart, the one who loves you deeply. Faith is that I don't have the full plan, but I know the one, and I trust the one that does have the full plan. I am just the clay. I am just the clay. Petri, would you mind? Guys, you can stand with me, and we're going to pray together. This is all eyes closed, and this might be quick to the heart. But if you have had a tendency in your life to constantly try to escape godly pressures, you might not have known that they're godly, but just constantly try to take the comfortable route, albeit in the small or the big things, and you realize there's a bit of a conviction, just with all eyes closed, and you would just like to pray and say, Lord, I don't want to escape things that you want me to overcome. Just that. I don't want to escape pressures that I've been called to overcome in Christ. Just raise your hand and we're just going to pray. God, I thank you for these hands. I just thank you a simple prayer, Lord, that we acknowledge that our carnal nature wants to constantly sidestep and escape certain pressures, yet you've called us and anointed us to have peace, and not only have peace, but to overcome them as we hide in Christ. So we say, Jesus, have your way. Have your way. Help us not, Holy Spirit, to try to escape by old means. Help us to go head on straight in faith, knowing that it is Christ that will do the work and not us. We thank you for that. Help us to be overcomers with overcoming faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Our faith only operates where we know that God is good. And that's just the second thing. It's just the goodness of God. If you just want a fresh revelation through the Word of God, firstly, but also trust Him for experiencing them, that truth in your life about God's goodness, just tell it to Him personally. Just speak to Him about it. If there's a hurt, as though klip in jou skoenes oor God se goedheid. Wees eerlik met God nou. Sal ek jou aanraai. Lord, we want to know the fullness of your goodness through your word, both the knowledge but also the wisdom and the rhema truth of faith in our hearts, that we serve a good God and only a good God. And anything else may you, by your grace, come and destroy in our lives. Come with your consuming fire, your refiner's fire, and just take away anything contrary to that. Because you are a good God. And then lastly, we're trusting in the Lord that I believe if you've ever been offended by the way of the Lord, you might have gotten over it because you're standing in church, which is a good thing, but it's left a dent and you want restoration and healing, where God has done something or something has happened and you are offended by the way of the Lord. Do you want to raise your hand and we can just ask for prayer and restoration. If ever you were offended. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, as you see these hands. Thank you for humility. And thank you, we just come and say, Lord, that you'll just restore sevenfold what the locusts have stolen. Wherever we've become offended by your ways, Lord, unknowingly see, even, forgive us, Father God. We just speak over the situations. God is a good God. He's sovereign. And he is the potter, in Jesus' name. And lastly, if you just want to say, I'm clay, and just totally surrender your life and just declare that you are clay, and that even if things does not always make sense, you don't know the full plan, you don't know the future fully, if you just want to surrender yourself as a mendable, warm, tangible piece of clay into God's hands, into the perfect potter's hands, you can just maybe raise your hand, whatever you can do, a volleyball, but just show God, just to speak to him. I believe there's a moment. God, you've got a lot of clay here. And I know you can do a lot of beautiful things, a lot of mighty things in and through our lives. And Lord, these pieces of clay is worth so much more in your hands. And that's where we leave it. Help us not to take it back. And remind us of this commitment. Holy Spirit, help us to walk it out. You're a good God. You're a potter with beautiful, perfect, skillful hands. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.